I was just talking to the secretary, and I told him 1 month ago tonight, we flew the Cessna into Mount Pleasant, Iowa International Airport. And we got through customs real fast. Same person, two caps, and got through real fast. But we had a pleasant night at, I just discovered, the church where he was a member during his time in Mount Pleasant, Iowa. But I do want to share just a little bit about Tom Vilsack, who was appointed Secretary of Agriculture. He's the 30th Secretary of Agriculture and has served in the office since January 21st of 2009. I figured it up, Mr. Secretary, that's 3 years and 47 days. And we compliment you on the accomplishments in that time. Secretary Vilsack, of course, working to strengthen the American agricultural economy and to revitalize rural communities through the Rural Development Agency program and to protect and conserve our natural resources and the ultimate product, of course, an abundant, nutritious, and safe economical food supply. And I like what he says, because USDA's work affects every American every day. We are proud to be the every way, every day USA, USDA. Under his leadership, he is working to improve the health of America's children. He is also presenting American agriculture production and biotechnology exports by conducting the agricultural research we need and maintaining yet an appropriate safety net for farmers and ranchers. Mr. Vilsack served two terms as the governor of Iowa and as a state senator and also the mayor of Mount Pleasant, Iowa. We are honored to have him with us for this finale for the National Agriculture Day celebration. Please welcome Secretary of Agriculture, Tom Vilsack.
Thank you very much. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. No, please. Thank you. Please have a seat. Thank you very much. Thank you. You know, I think you would agree with me that Orion's got a great voice. I think he's got a future in broadcasting. I don't know. That's the hope, anyway. And it's great to have him back here. He's a good friend, and he certainly has been a great friend of American agriculture and farmers and ranchers around the United States of America. They look to him for information and rely on his shows and his comments. And so it's great to have you here. Just a funny story about that airport that I was sharing with Orion. I was mayor of Mount Pleasant, and for those who live in small towns, you understand there's always a rivalry with the adjoining small towns. It might be a basketball rivalry or a football rivalry or something else, but there's always a rivalry in economic development. And so in an effort to make sure that we were in a better position than our neighboring community of Fairfield that was competing with us, we were doing improvements to the airport. And the contractor came in and said, now, Mr. Mayor, you've contracted for a runway 5,000 feet. That is equal to the runway in Fairfield. And I said, well, what would the cost of one additional foot be? And he told me what it was, and I said, well, I think we could do that because that will give us the ability to truthfully say that our runway is larger and longer than Fairfield's. We didn't have to say how much longer. And that gave us a competitive edge with some of the folks. And I know when the Walmart distribution store was located in Mount Pleasant, their first distribution center in the Midwest, they made the decision to come to Mount Pleasant, and one of the reasons was access, the airport. So, but you know, it's great to be with you tonight. Let me just remind everybody that this is the 150th anniversary of the United States Department of Agriculture. 150 years ago in May of 1862, President Lincoln signed the law that established this department, and at the time he established it, the theory was that this was going to be a department that would do two basic things. It would collect information so that we had a statistical understanding of what agriculture was doing and what it was contributing, and that it would promote the identification of additional plants and crops that could potentially be grown in the United States. So it had a research function. In essence, that research function was about the future. And the president established this as the People's Department, and the concept and idea was that this would be a forward-thinking, futuristic department, that it would be constantly looking for ways in which we would be stronger agriculturally. Now, consider the circumstances within which this department was formed. 1862, there was a lot going on in this country. There was a civil war going on. The Transcontinental Railroad was in the process of being built. The land-grant university system was being started, and the Homestead Act was signed. This was a time when the country, even though it was faced with some serious challenges, was able to think to the future and to be confident that that future would be brighter and better if we took the right steps now. I wish President Lincoln and those who were in Congress could come back now and see what they've created. I wish they could see the extraordinary story of American agriculture, the capacity of this country to be self-sufficient from a food standpoint, to be food secure. I wish they could have picked up the paper, as I did several days ago, to read about a possible agreement with North Korea that would allow the North Koreans to be a bit more open about their nuclear program, in exchange for which the international community would provide food aid, the important role that food is playing in those negotiations. I wish they could come back and take a look at the fact that there is great turmoil, but also great promise in the Middle East, started in part because countries could not and would not have sufficient food to feed their people, and that's what started some civil unrest. They would understand what a great thing we have in American agriculture, how that adds to the stability and security of this country. They would be amazed at the farms, both large and small, the extraordinary productivity. They would be amazed that since 1980, agriculture is the second most productive aspect of our economy. They would be truly impressed with the research that's being conducted at that land-grant university system they established, mapping the genome of plants and animals, allowing us to know more and more about how to combat diseases and pests, enabling us to be even more productive in the future. They would be amazed at the work that USDA officials are doing in Afghanistan to try to replicate a growing agriculture in Afghanistan that focuses less on poppy and more on pomegranates and apricots and more traditional crops. They would certainly be impressed with the work that's being done in our nutrition programs and our food safety programs that not only assure us of adequate supplies of food, but that we can be guaranteed to have the safest food in the world. And they would certainly be impressed with the work that's being done by rural development trying to create economic opportunity, focused first and foremost on production agriculture and the expansion and opportunities that creates, one out of every 12 jobs in the country connected in some way to what is happening on the farm. But they would also be pleased to see the local and regional food system as a fast-growing segment of agriculture, giving young people an opportunity to enter into this extraordinary work. They would be impressed with the conservation work that our farmers and ranchers are doing, our best and first stewards of the land and the water, and seeing how many economic opportunities are being created as a result of outdoor recreation as we increase diversity of wildlife and improve water quality, more hunting and fishing and hiking and biking and outdoor recreational opportunities. They would be impressed with this whole new opportunity to redefine the American economy based on a bio-based economy, not necessarily on a fossil fuel-based economy. A bio-based economy that's now offering opportunities for 3,100 businesses across the country to take what we grow and what we raise, and maybe even what we've been throwing away or not using fully, and creating it into chemicals and fabrics and fibers and polymers, substitutes for oil-based plastic. What an amazing American agriculture they would see that they have helped to develop. And that's why we celebrate Ag Day. It's an opportunity not just for those in agriculture to pat yourself on the back, but it's more importantly, I think, for the country to recognize during this day and during this week the extraordinary contribution that agriculture makes to the security of this country. For not only are we secure from a food perspective, but we also have, as I say so often, more money in our pocket when we leave the grocery store than most people around the world have when they leave their grocery stores. We spend less than 10 cents of every dollar we earn on food. You go to most developed nations and you're going to spend 25 cents of every dollar you earn. You go to developing countries, it may be as much as 50 or 75%. So that means we have greater flexibility with our paychecks. We can buy a nicer car, live in a bigger home, take a vacation, put money aside for college, maybe have a larger retirement nest egg. We can fuel the economy with these choices. So it's appropriate and absolutely necessary that we take, not just today, not just this week, but every day and every week, to thank American farmers, ranchers, and producers. Thank them for not only taking care of our needs, but also providing an extraordinary opportunity to take care of the global needs. A record year in ag exports, combined with humanitarian assistance that we provide, is truly another remarkable story arising from American agriculture. So I want to welcome you to the halls of the USDA. This is an extraordinary opportunity for us to say thank you. I see the young people here, and I will just sort of end with two comments. One is that I think it's incumbent upon us to do what was done in 1862. I think it's incumbent upon Americans today, as we face some very serious challenges fiscally and as we try to rebuild our economy, as we deal with all of the threats that we face around the world, that we not lose the focus on the future. And as we craft new farm legislation, I like to call it a farm, food, and jobs bill because that's what it is. As we craft that, let's be very positive and optimistic about that future. Let's craft it in a way that provides an appropriate safety net, a strong safety net. Let's make sure that it enhances opportunities in this bio-based economy so we can build new factories, new manufacturing facilities, and biorefineries in rural parts of this country. So we provide not only new market opportunities for farmers, but also jobs for those who want to live, work, and raise their families in small towns. Let's make sure that these young people who are interested and excited about farming opportunities in FFA and 4-H, that they have that opportunity to do so by making sure that we have beginning farmer programs that really create new opportunities for these young people, be they interested in production agriculture or some other form of agriculture. Let's make sure that we advocate that Congress take a look at all possibilities to help these young people, not just the Farm Bill, but also tax laws that may make it more difficult for them to access land. This is a great opportunity for us. Despite the challenges, despite the difficulties, this is an extraordinary time for American agriculture. It is a renaissance and a revitalization. It is a renewal. It is a hopeful and optimistic time. And as we craft this next five-year program, let's make sure we keep faith with the vision and the promise of Abe Lincoln and the Congress of 1862. We don't forget that this country has always been built on the notion that the next generation is going to have a stronger and better, more optimistic and more hopeful, more compassionate America. That's the business of USDA. And it's exciting to be here. And I have enjoyed every single day that I have worked here. I now know how many days I've worked here. There are some days when it seems like it's been a little bit longer than that. But I have told the President of the United States, and I've told just about anybody who's asked me, I truly believe I've got the best job in America. I'm representing and advocating for some of America's greatest people, people who are very humble, people who don't toot their own horn, people who feed us. They fuel us, they send their sons and daughters to military service in disproportionate numbers. They care deeply about their country and their community and their faith. It's an extraordinary group. And so I look forward to sort of mixing and mingling for a few minutes today while you enjoy your dinner, brought to you by, no doubt, an American farmer, rancher, and producer. God bless you all. Thank you.